your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 6.
Galatians chapter 6 is where we'll be focusing our time and attention for this part of our service. Good to see you this morning. Good to see that I appreciate Craig and what he's done and leading us in song. And it's kind of morning, kind of chilly. It's turning that time of year slowly where the weather starts to turn. We start to kind of have a different flavor. And I appreciate you all being here and the time that we can spend in God's Word for a few minutes this morning. I want to just spend some time reading and looking at these five verses here, beginning in Galatians 6 and verse 6. Galatians 6 and verse 6 says, "Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 to 10. God made the world to operate according to certain laws or rules. You might even call them principles. And the funny thing about the principles on which the world operates is they don't take suggestions. It doesn't really matter whether you like them or not. I think one of the best examples of that is the law of gravity. You might not like gravity. You might think, you know what, today I don't want to obey the law of gravity. I think it's a dumb law. Guess what? It doesn't really matter what you think about it, does it? You're going to obey the law of gravity because that's the way God made the world to work. You will submit to it. And I want to talk about a principle that Paul mentions that has a reality to it, a truth to it, that is true not only in life, but also Paul is telling us is true in spiritual things. We're going to call that the farmer's principle. It's found here in verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap." It's a farmer's principle that when you sow a certain seed, that's the seed you're going to reap. When you go out to reap the harvest, you're only going to reap a harvest that's made up of the seed you've sown. You're not going to reap a harvest of something different. And it's also the farmer's principle in that if you want something, you'd better plant for it. Okay? You're not going to get watermelons if you plant tomato seeds. Okay? It's just not going to work. Even somebody who hasn't done much farming, and I have the black thumb rather than the green thumb, even somebody like me understands that principle. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. And Paul is trying to teach us that that principle is also valid in spiritual things. He's going to take that and talk about eternity and how what we sow will determine what we reap in eternity. But I want to take a minute because I think this is a principle that resonates for us. And if we step back a minute from life and just think about the way life works, we know that this is a true principle about life. So when we decide to eat lots of bad food and never exercise, what happens? We know what happens, right? We become unhealthy, so we start to gain weight. Our organs feel the impact. We start to feel bad physically. Why is that? What happens there? Well, the reality is we reap what we sow in terms of our health. We might not like that, and we might say, you know what, that's not fair. We might disagree, and we might say the world shouldn't be that way, and those are all fine. If you feel that way, that's fine. It's still the way it is, isn't it? That's the way life works. Whether you like it or not, you don't change it. Or you might have this issue. If you make money and you spend it immediately, the moment you get it, okay, what happens? Well, then suddenly you don't have any money, right? I mean, this is not hard. Okay, so what happens is we get into debt, or we don't have what money to buy the things that we want or need later on, or we get older and we find that we can't work in some way, and so what, we don't have anything. We're not ready for any kind of emergency. Well, what is that? That is reaping what we've sown. We sowed that, and now we reap the consequences of that. How about in relationships? We see this in relationships. If I don't ever pay attention to my wife or my friends, then those relationships suffer. In fact, if I ignore my friends, I'm not going to have friends very long. That's not the way friendships work. I have to invest in those friendships. And if I don't, then I'm going to reap the consequences that I have sown. So verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he'll also reap. I love the fact that he says, do not be deceived there. That's very interesting to me, because what that is implying is somebody's trying to deceive us about that, as if that's not really the way life works, and if that's not really the way eternity works. And I think this is interesting because we see that even in life. Even in life, there is the strong effort to avoid reaping what we've sown. So even in those three areas I just mentioned, when we talk about health and we talk about money, we talk about relationships, there are efforts to do that. You know, we have health plans that are saying, you know, you can lose 50 pounds in a week by doing exercise 2 minutes a day, right? Just pay us this money, okay? Get healthy quick. But health doesn't come quick, does it? Or get rich quick. You know, you can get all this money by working 2 minutes a day as long as you're doing the right things, okay? Or the idea that somehow my relationships can be better. You know, this was the debate years back. It's not about quantity of time. It's about quality time, okay? So even if you can't spend but 30 seconds with your kids, as long as they're an awesome 30 seconds, your relationships are going to be fine, okay? Well, we know better than all of that, but what they are efforts to deceive us about the principle that we reap what we've sown. Now, I'm not saying with anything that I've said so far that we can't try to make better decisions and try to, you know, fix some of the bad decisions we made in the past. And I'm not saying that process can't happen, but I am saying that we can't expect to live in a way that's independent of the decisions we made in the past, that we're going to reap the consequences of what we've sown. I know some people who have come back to the Lord after a long absence, 15 or 20 or 30 years, and even when they start making better decisions, they're still haunted by and affected by some of the decisions they made in the past. And I've tried to explain to them, you're reaping what you've sown. And even if you quit sowing, you still keep reaping, at least for a while. And I have that problem too. Some of the things that I've done, I still reap the consequences of the things I've done, even though I've tried to change and don't do those things anymore. Let me give you a couple more examples, and then we'll get into the text. I'm a sports guy. You guys know that. Okay, when you look at an athlete, you look at an Olympic athlete, or you look at a great basketball player, you ask, well, how did they get to be where they are? You know, and always there is the instinct to say, well, they just were born with some natural talent, and that's true. But most of the time when you have an Olympic athlete or great basketball player, the answer to the question, how did they get to be so good, even better than the others who have their same physical gifts? The answer is almost always they put in a whole lot more work and they're a lot more dedicated to their craft. They just try harder. They have sown that effort and now they're reaping the benefits of that. So while everybody else is going out partying, they go to the gym. Okay, you get that idea. They reap what they've sown. I remember being a young man, and there was one preacher in particular who came to the congregation where my family worshiped and held a meeting. And I remember even at 6 or 7 years old, just being in awe of this preacher. How could he know so many passages? How could he know so much about the Bible? And I remember there was a conversation that I was just on the outskirts of because I was a little boy, but I remember them talking to him, and he said, it's just day after day working in the Word. That's what happens. You reap what you sow. Now, you got all of that. Now I want to talk about what the passage is really saying. I want you to see that is life. But Paul is saying that's also the way God works. Verse 6, Galatians 6 and verse 6, let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. We share all good things, particularly we share with those who teach us. Now that can mean money and stuff, but mainly I think the focus here is on what we share because we belong to Christ. We are one in Christ. We share those things with one another. And there's an emphasis there, he says, on you be careful to take care of your teachers. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So the farmer's principle is about how we are living our life now in view of eternity. He says in verse 8, the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So there are two choices now to what we sow. We can sow to the flesh or sow to the Spirit. And that, we're going to talk about that more in a minute. He's going back to the idea of the works of the flesh or works of the Spirit from chapter 5. But what he is saying is they're going to bring opposite crops in eternity. We're either going to reap eternal life or we're going to reap corruption. So verse 9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. What this is an assurance that the things that you are doing in your life today, December 3rd, 2017, are going to matter in eternity. So you keep reaping, you keep sowing because in due season we will reap if we don't give up, if we don't lose heart. So keep it up. Keep it up today and tomorrow, and each day you sow to the Spirit and you will reap eternal life. The only danger in this text is walking away before the crop comes in. Don't give up, and in due season you'll reap. So, verse 10, so then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So here is the moment of application for Paul. So let's do good. Let's sow to the Spirit, and let's do good to everybody, but especially those to whom we have a connection in Christ, those who are of the household of faith. So let's sow to the Spirit. I want you to think with me for just a minute about what it's going to look like if we take this principle seriously. And I want to show you there are three things that are required by the farmer's principle. The first is this. The farmer's principle requires daily work. Daily work. Sowing is work. And because the farmer wants the crop, he does the work. But I put the word daily in here to try to emphasize the nature of these sowing decisions that we make every day. So verse 8 says, the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. We are always sowing something. Always. We're sowing to the flesh or we're sowing to the Spirit. And that something we're sowing always has a harvest. It's always going to come up as something else in the future. So look back with me in Galatians 5, back to verse 19. Galatians 5 and verse 19. So Paul has talked about sowing to the flesh and sowing to the Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So Paul says there are two directions we can go. Or if you want to use the image of the farmer, there's two kinds of seeds we can plant. And we're either going to be focused on works of the law or we're going to be focused on the Spirit working His fruit in us. So those are choices that we make to pursue whether our flesh or to pursue God's leading in His Spirit. So one or the other we're going to choose. And my emphasis is that we're going to make those choices today. So it is helpful to me to think about, well, this last week, where have I been sowing? What direction have I been going? What would it look like if I were to have to put tally marks in the works of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit box throughout this last week? And I want to ask you that question. How have you been doing? And what have you been spending your time and your energy and your focus on over the last week? Because you are sowing something. And that something, as we've seen, that has an impact. Just like in life, when we talk about the minor decisions we make regarding our health or our relationships or our money, so in spiritual things, those little decisions that we make have an impact with our relationship with God. But when we talk about daily work, I want to remind you that the kind of decisions we're talking about are small decisions. Sowing decisions are small decisions. People don't usually, I say the word usually, eat themselves into bad health in one day, right? Usually, how does that happen? We know how that happens. It happens gradually over time. Day after day after day, we make decisions, and a little bit here, and a little bit here, and a little bit here. Or we don't usually get ourselves into huge debt in one day, usually. I'm sure that things can happen. But usually we don't, right? What happens? Day after day, month after month, cycle after cycle, these things happen. It leads toward that. In fact, people usually don't have marriages that are falling apart in one day, usually. Usually those things weaken over time, right? Day by day by day. It takes daily work then to do the opposite. To be healthy takes daily work. To spend well or to be disciplined about our spending takes daily work. Or to build a great marriage. It doesn't happen in one day. It's something that takes day after day, daily work. So the question then becomes, what am I doing today to sow a little bit in the direction of the Spirit? What am I doing today to pursue love and joy and peace and patience and all of those things that are part of what God wants me to be? What am I doing today? Because I want to emphasize today, Sunday, December 3rd, we're going to make decisions that are going to go in one direction or the other. And what Paul is saying is those decisions matter not just now, but in the future. And not just in the future here on earth, but in the future in eternity. That's what he's saying. There is more to this than what we often think. So who is in charge of my life today? Who determines my actions? Who's going to win the battle for my time today? Who wins when I want to do something I know is wrong? Who wins? Do I win? Do I just get to do what I want? Or is God going to be in charge? Am I going to sow to the Spirit? All right, second thing. The farmer's principle requires hope. I don't know if you thought much about this, but farmers have to plan ahead. If they want to eat, they have to sow in faith. They hope. They anticipate the coming harvest. They have to plan. And then they have to wait. Verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9 is what I'm looking at. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. If we do not give up. In due season, the time's going to come. We can be sure of it. We are going to reap. But it seems to me that this is one of the great struggles of our time. Because as a culture, we have no foresight. None. We're not looking ahead at what's going to happen next. We just assume it's going to be better than what's happening now. So, we don't know how as a culture to plan for a future result that's better than what we see and build toward it. We don't know how to do that. And so we are a culture of poor farmers. And that has an impact on us spiritually because this hinges on our ability to see something that hasn't happened yet, to see something that's not here yet, and to know it's true and therefore to work toward it. And that's where Christians have to be different. We can't lose sight of the great hope that we have that someday the harvest is going to come, that someday we're going to reap eternal life. Verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he'll also reap. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Did you notice he says, this is about God? Because our faith and our hope are rooted in God. So while I've talked a lot about a principle, and I've talked about principles about life on earth and a principle about eternity, please don't think that that's somehow divorced from God. Because God is the one who makes the principle work and enforces it. And if the principle doesn't work, then God is mocked. It's as if God can't run the world and that things aren't going to work according to the way God said they would. And that's not so. God is not mocked because we have hope in God. We have to look forward to the day when God rewards us. So, if you talk about a farmer, it would be really easy for a farmer to throw the seed, some water on it. You walk out the next day, what do you see? Nothing. You see nothing. Nothing's happened yet. And it's very easy, I would assume, to say, you know what? What am I doing? It obviously didn't work. I put all this work into it and nothing happened. I mean, it's been a day. And it seems to me that that's often the way we work. We try to make changes in our lives. We try to live for God. We try it, and then it doesn't immediately work out. Not everything goes great. Oh, well, this must not be what I should be doing. This must not be what I'm looking for. Some people live that way because they don't see an immediate benefit. They assume there's not one. Christians live on a different scale. Like the farmer who can sit and wait because he knows something's coming that's bigger than him. It's not dependent on him. It's something that's going to happen if he is able to just trust in what he is doing. So Christians live on a scale in which we sow in hope and we sow in faith. We know that the right time, the harvest is going to come. And the third thing is that the farmer's principle requires patience. Patience. Verse 9 says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." So the idea here is don't give up, don't quit. Stay refreshed in hope because there's going to be some waiting that you have to go through. The harvest really is coming. You think about farming. Farming is hard work. You got all this preparation to do. You got all this maintenance to do. You work, work, work. But at heart, you just have to be able to wait for the right times, and to wait in anticipation of what's to come. And following the Spirit is hard, too, because we get worn out. And I think that's what Paul's referring to in verse 9. Let's not grow weary of doing good. We get worn out. We get worn out because sometimes you do good and you do good, and it doesn't seem to do any good. And you get worn out because sometimes you do good and you do good, and people oppose you and criticize you for it. And sometimes you do good and do good, and you don't have anything left, and you get worn out physically. Jesus did that. It's hard and it's tiring, and we need the ability to say, even if it doesn't happen today, I know it will, and I'm going to be able to wait for it. Patience skills are vital for us because we are anticipating something that we don't know when it's going to happen. We're anticipating Jesus coming back, and we don't know when. So we have to be ready to wait. Waiting means I'm going to keep looking back at the promises and the hope that I have and not let it grow cold. Waiting means I'm not going to quit just because I get tired. I'm not going to lose sight of what is going to happen. Especially, it seems to me, the way that we mature makes the hope that we have when we're younger look different as we grow older. And sometimes that leads people to say, you know what, well, it's kind of childish. Other times, when we can stick with it, our faith and our hope and our patience mature. And we begin to see that patience is what we have to do in all parts of life. We have to wait. And so we learn to wait on God the way we wait for other things in life. There is an anticipation here that I think we just can't lose sight of, that we can't give up just because things get hard when there's something far greater than the sufferings that we have that we're anticipating. So I want to open it up to all of you. I've been talking for a while. I want us to see the eternity part of this principle, but I want to hear what you have to say because I've been talking about a lot of different things. So what do you got? John.
Same thing with Christianity. I mean, you work and do all those things, but there's going to be times when you're going to have trials, and right. You're going to get knocked down. But you've got to get up, and that's the way in farming. We farmed on a light scale, many times, you know, it didn't rain when it was supposed to, and our cotton didn't make as well as it should, as the corn did. But you got right back up the next year, and you went right back in doing the same thing again. And maybe that year you did good. But in Christianity, you're gonna have trials, and you're going to have times of, you know, getting knocked down. But you've got to get up, and you've got to go on, because there is a reward at the end.
I think that, to me, it talks about hope. That even when we've had some disappointment in the past, that we're not going to give up on the process. All right. Other thoughts? Skip.
Well, I don't have time to take everything out of this body. On hope, I wonder I said it. You know where I'm going with that. But, you know, it's important as hope comes, you think we'd be told a lot about what it is we're waiting for, because that's what sustains us.
Right. Maybe articulating that more clearly can help us to be firmer in our hope. John?
This, to me, has a great influence on the attitude of entitlement. I'm entitled to have a healthy life. I'm entitled to have a good crop. I'm entitled to this. No, you're not. You know, fighting against the laws of nature. So to me, I think it's a good lesson also on to me, it reminds me that we're also a culture of extreme entitlement. And no, you have to put your faith in work and hope and patience, and you're not entitled to those things. Just drops.
Yeah. Good. I think there's a, what I sense in this text is a different kind of rhythm than the rhythm we live by. And especially you think about the farmer, you know, the farmer's got his timetable, you know, this is the, and it's a different timetable than the one we, you know, in sort of a modern society would live by. And that different rhythm, I think, is essential because it helps us see this is about me waiting, me learning that there is more important things than what I like and what I want. I agree with your entitlement point, too, because I think we, like the implication of don't be deceived, we like to be deceived about that because we don't want to think there are severe consequences for our actions, and we want what we want when we want it. So, all right, other thoughts? Barry?
I think one difference between the farmer and that principle and as Christian, farmers have a choice whether they sow or not. We don't.
Yeah.
We're always sowing, whether good or bad. By doing nothing, we're sowing. Quite different, so a farmer can choose not to sow anything.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we're always sowing. That's why I think I said that. We sow something every day, you know, we're always contributing in one direction or the other. That is a difference in the picture. Jean? Well, I do think, and that's a good example of not everything in life works according to the principle of this is, you know, I don't always reap just what I've sown. Sometimes I reap the consequences of other people's decisions too. But I can also see a linear path between what I choose and my consequences. So I think that's important to add in there because that is another side of it. I don't want to act as if in physical things, nobody else's choices impact anybody. They only impact themselves. That's not so. But at the end of the day, in terms of eternity, that's going to be something that's just about what I've sown. Renee?
Just kind of follow up on that. I think another thing that happens in our culture is if I do A, B, and C, then D is going to happen. I remember you were preaching a lesson one time. I don't remember honestly the topic, but talked about you can do all the right financial decisions. You can invest, save your money, and then the stock market plummets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to guard against that. And I think that's really
important.
And we're using analogies, and the hope is.
Right. All right. Sonny, you have something? Nope. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your attention, guys. I appreciate your feedback on that. We'll be dismissed for our classes.